Welcome to Current State on WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Yes, we'll talk with someone who was working at Ford on the day the Mustang was unveiled, author Michael W.R. Davis. Also later this hour, book reviewer Scott Southard reviews a Michigan notable book from this year, a collection of short stories and poems about a truly magical place, our Upper Peninsula. That and lots more coming up this hour here on Current State. To start our program, developments toward a grand bargain to speed the end of Detroit's landmark bankruptcy have been unfolding quickly the last couple of days. Late on Tuesday night, negotiators from the city and two of its retiree pension funds reached tentative deals involving cuts in cost of living revisions. Those agreements were two more hurdles cleared toward an $816 million arrangement that could lessen pension cuts, allow reinvestment in city services, and prevent the sale of city-owned art at the Detroit Institute of Arts. But more such agreements need to be hammered out with other creditors. Also today, we are learning that the state is offering to sweeten its proposal to contribute $350 million to the effort. Now, to bring us up to speed, I spoke just a short while ago with Detroit News reporter Chad Livengood. I first asked Chad to explain this latest offer from the state.
Yeah, the state, the governor Snyder has pledged $350 million in state funds towards bolstering the pensions. The money would come from the tobacco settlement fund. It's just a bit of kind of a question of how the money would arrive, and the state has reportedly offered to put all the money up front, where the state would probably take out a bond on the money. In the equivalent value of $350 over 20 years, it might be less than $350 million, but it will be what would equate to the same amount of money if you made $17.5 million payments every year for the next two decades. So that's really kind of sweetened the deal a little bit for the pensioners, because that puts the money directly in the pension funds, and they can then grow at a rate about 6.75% on the investment return. That gives the pension funds more money up front right now.
Does that suggest increasing support at the Capitol for the state's role in this?
Not sure how that's going to play out at the Capitol. I mean, there's one side of it that says the state would be taking out debt, essentially, and securitized by the tobacco settlement funds. And what I mean by securitized is that the tobacco settlement funds would be the secure source of repayment on that debt. But at the same time, it also is, if it's part of the whole bargain, as part of the deal to get the bankruptcy settled in a timely, quick fashion before the fall elections, and at the same time get the state off the hook possibly for unpaid pensions, then the legislature might want to act quickly on this.
The agreements between the city and the pension funds from late Tuesday were described yesterday as tentative. Are those still intact?
Yeah, the agreements essentially are the general retirement system employees, anybody who is non-uniform in the city, will get a 4.5% reduction in their base pension, and the elimination of annual cost of living increases, or COLA. And then the police and firefighters, they're getting out of this relatively unscathed. They're going to have essentially their COLA, which is about 2.25%, compounds every year, adds to the value of their pension. That's going to be cut in half by 55% to just around 1%. So that's the General Retirement Systems Board yesterday met and voted and unanimously approved endorsing this plan. And the Police and Firefighters Retirement System Board is scheduled to meet this morning and potentially endorse it as well.
Clarify for us, please, Chad, how many more similar agreements are still needed before everybody's on board?
Well, there's a couple of big holdouts, and it is unclear whether they really will come in from the cold, so to speak. And these are bond insurers. These are companies that have insured Detroit debt. And they either are general obligation bonds with limited taxes to support them, or they are these complicated kind of toxic bonds that the city took out to prop up its pension fund in 2005 and 2006 on what's known as certificates of participation, kind of IOUs basically. And the insurers of those bonds are essentially facing total wipeout or at best getting a 20 cent on the dollar recovery. So they're the biggest holdout still in this whole equation. But I'm not certain at this point that they're really going to be getting any kind of a good deal like the pensioners have been getting here. And frankly, there is some sentiment in Detroit that those are institutions that that loaned Detroit money. They kind of should have known better that the city was sort of a financial basket case and ended into a free fall. I just tell you, there's just little sympathy for New York bond insurers.
We'll remind our listeners that this grand bargain would give the city $816 million earmarked for pensions. The money would come from 12 private foundations, the state, and Detroit Institute of Art donors. In return, the DIA's art collection, which is owned by the city, would not be sold. Chad, you wrote that the pension agreements from late Tuesday that are still on the table were much less severe than what was originally proposed. What has changed there?
There's a couple of factors. There has been new money, obviously, between the grand bargain money, but also these pension funds over the last 2 years have been posting double digit returns, and because of that, they got more money on the table. And there, a lot of this is there's some mathematical equations that are being changed. You can essentially make numbers do what you want at times, and the same applies to actuaries who adjust pension liabilities and forecasts.
Yeah.
At the same time, there has been negotiating power by the city. The city has had this hammer in its hand, and it's the judge's ruling from December that pensions were like any other contract and could be cut in bankruptcy court, and didn't have the state constitutional protection didn't reside inside bankruptcy court. So they have kind of held this over their heads that if you don't take this grand bargain and if you don't give up this legal fight, then you're going to face more severe cuts. I mean, it is kind of amazing that we went from 26% cut for general retirees just 2 weeks ago to 4.5%.
Indeed.
And 6%, it was originally proposed a 6% cut for the if the police and firefighters took the deal. Now they're going to get 0% cut and just half their COLA shaved off. And so it is kind of a, and that's one issue that's going to be probably still debated, that these bond insurers who are probably not going to get their way, they're going to come into this trial likely in July and try to pick apart this pension deal and other deals that have been done with other creditor groups, because they're going to try to prove that and have their financial people look at it and say, look, this is the city trying to cut bait and get out of bankruptcy court and avoid a huge, long, protracted legal battle. These adjustments to the pensions aren't enough. And will not keep the city from falling in the tank again, essentially. And that goes to the question of feasibility. Is this plan really feasible? Will the city emerge with less debt and burden so that it can focus on core services? And that's going to be really the main event this summer when Judge Stephen Rhodes has to examine this whole deal.
Is that Judge Rhodes' call in the end?
Yes. It is his call on whether the plan is feasible, and it's also his call on whether the plan is fair and equitable to creditors. Now, there'll also be an argument that, look, by the bond insurers who are insuring unsecured debt, that the pensioners, also unsecured debtors, creditors can should not be getting a better deal than them. That they will argue that there is a fairness issue.
Hmm.
But like I said before, the sympathy of the faceless bond insurer or bond holder versus the faces of and plight of pensioners is hard to overcome.
We're talking with Chad Livengood of the Detroit News about the latest developments in the Detroit bankruptcy situation. There have been deadlines established as part of this process, and some of them have already been missed. Do deadlines still exist here?
Deadlines are kind of flexible in this process, it seems. I mean, at times there are some hard deadlines, and sometimes there's also the city is putting out, you know, sort of self-imposed deadline. They were going to file a new amended plan of adjustment on Monday. They made that clear last week. It was kind of a negotiating tactic to say if you want to get in on the plan, you better cut a deal now. And then they didn't file that. That Monday came and went. Tuesday came and went. And then that plan got dropped in my lap at about 5 p.m. last night.
You're back in Judge Stephen Rhodes' courtroom today. What important business will be addressed there today?
Yeah, the hearing today is about the adequacy of what's called the disclosure statement. It's about a 670-page document. It got amended last night. And it essentially lays out in a very almost narrative and descriptive detail the treatment of pensioners, the treatment of retiree health care, the treatment of other creditor claims, and the city's plan to pump about $1.5 billion into reinvesting in city services over the next decade. It's the document that will go out on a CD-ROM form because they have to send, like, you know, bundles of paper. It'll be going out to 63,000. I'm losing a number in my head right now, but some odd creditors who are eligible to vote on the plan.
Mm.
And this will begin May 1st. They'll get this solicitation packet in the mail from the city, and this will be retirees with pensions. This will be bondholders of all sorts of stripes, and so the hearing is on whether this document has all the appropriate information and is sufficient. And there are some holes still in the thing, frankly, and so that'll be probably debated today. There's also another issue that's coming up in court today that deals with the Detroit Water and Sewerage Department, and the city has essentially walked away and given up on the idea of creating a regional authority to manage the water department and essentially to try to milk some money out of it every year because it's been wholly rejected essentially by Oakland and Macomb County. And so Wayne County has stepped in and said they want to have a mediation on these negotiations, and so they're asking a judge today to appoint a special mediator to get all sides in the room because this issue has become kind of a butting of heads of egos here.
Chad Livengood covers the state legislature and the Detroit bankruptcy for the Detroit News. Lots to keep straight here, Chad. You've helped us a lot. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Mm-hmm.